Hey Rohit, just closing the loop on our first podcast series of small podcasts on this World Cup, the match between Spain and Russia. Unfortunately, I think we started off by picking a match that was, by all comparative accounts, very boring. A very slow game went into penalty. The penalty has just completed, and Russia have won. That's been the scoreline. Obviously, there are lots of conspiracy theories doing the rounds. Some started by me, some started by my friends, but we'll talk about that later. But top line reactions from you, Rohit, on the scoreline.
Oh yeah, I mean, I also like had a couple of semi-facetious conspiracy theory-esque remarks. I mean, it was a dull match. Given that it was a dull match, I don't know. I mean, Spain still seemed to play a little better, but again, that just might be because of my previous bias towards Spain, my greater familiarity with their team. I'll say this though, that some of these dominant teams in the world, they have a kind of arrogance about them. And I think we saw that, for instance, in the last World Cup, was it the semi-final when Brazil got thrashed 7-1 by Germany? I mean, they were showboating. There was that guy, complete joker, I forget the guy with the mustache, who people were surprised that he sort of prance around like a dandy ladies' man. I think the same thing with the Argentina team. Apparently, it was not a very good team. Now Spain, people like Ramos and Ramos and others, they've had a lot going for them. They've got a lot, they've achieved a lot. No doubt, I'd say the overwhelming majority of it is very well deserved. But there's also this sense of entitlement, and in the larger scheme of things, I think it's good that there are other teams that are getting a chance.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing for me is the teams that had these reputations were bringing a lot of their history to into the field. But I think one of the most refreshing things about this tournament is with people like Portugal, Argentina, Germany, and now Spain, history counts for very little once you step into the field. It's just 11 men against 11 men, and I think credit due to Russia. They played boringly, they played defensively, but they obviously played to their strengths. They didn't want to give Spain the opportunity to get ahead. We can talk about the contentious penalty, which I think when we called it out in the earlier clip, it was contentious. I'd still maintain that, but it is what it is. I think one of my friends circulated a rumor, which I'm trying to escalate, is that apparently the friends and family of the Spanish football team who had gone to see the World Cup have been called for tea at the behest of Putin's undersecretary. And they were taken on a bus to a place to have tea. And the invitation said to join the Russian president for tea to watch the match. And they took up on it, they took diplomatic advice and went. And then they went, the food was very well laid out in a table, very nicely done. There were big screens. But the only thing was that the venue was an underground basement somewhere. So one of the kids said that, and I'm feeling scared. I don't want tea. I want to go. And apparently somebody said, no, you're invited till the final whistle. You can't leave before that. So that.
Where did your friend find this out from is my question.
No, these are the kind of things that you get passed on online, namunawazi. But I thought that if this were it's not beyond the realm of imagination for Putin to do something like this whole thuggery disguised as kind of courteous diplomacy, as what he's doing in kind of Syria. So it's in the spirit of that. But obviously, I'm making light here.
This is straight out of. Have you seen this marvelous film, Bridge of Spies?
No, I haven't
Oh,
actually.
if you have some time this evening, just watch it. You
Okay.
absolutely have to watch it. I mean, it's wonderful. So it's there's some of that going on. It reminded me of a scene. I don't want to give too much of the of this away, but yeah, I mean, yeah, the rumor might have originated in Moscow, or it might have originated in Gurgaon. We don't know. But
Right.
that's but you know that's the reputation that the Russians have for better or for worse. But yeah, I mean, I you know, there's a sense in which I am obviously feeling sad for as a spectator, not just for Spain, because I think because of a number of factors, I'm not as passionately involved in this World Cup as I was in I'd say the previous one, and even so, you know, the one before that. The one before that, just for a personal reason, my son was, you know, not even, he was just about a year old, and, you know, 1 year old, he used to just lie on my arms. It was the summer. I don't teach in the summer. I don't have, you know, I have the summer off as an academic. So we would just watch the match together, and, you know, every time someone would scream goal, he would also scream goal. So I had that, you know, sort of memory, which made the World Cup a different kind of experience. So I don't have, and you know, I was really into Spain at that time. I still am a Barcelona fan. I don't have the same investment, but from the point of view of being a spectator, I think one of the better teams of the tournament going out is, you know, is not a great thing. And it's absolutely fair for a team to play to their strengths. I mean, if your strength is slowing the other team down, playing defensively, playing boringly, and that's what gets you a victory, well, that's what gets you a victory. You don't have to be, you know, showboat. So, taking nothing away from Russia, it's sad then that one of the more relatively exciting, you know, team with a lot of like dazzling players is out. In that vein, I mean, I don't know much about the Scandinavian teams. I've seen Mexico, I've been impressed with them. Brazil, I have an idea. France has suddenly come into its own. What do you think? I mean, how many more like exciting teams are left in the tournament according to your understanding?
Okay, so see, Brazil's still in the mix, so that's
Excuse me.
always
Yeah.
a good team to have on side. I think Croatia have been playing really good football, exciting kind of football, high speed football, which is good. France demonstrated yesterday that they can play really well. They are coming to their peaking. Whether they're peaking too soon, too late, I don't know. And obviously, you know, I would say something about England. I think there is cautious optimism that, you know, having lost the match to Belgium, I don't think Belgium are one of the more exciting teams. My personal view is that I don't think Belgium will progress past the quarterfinal, but that may be biased. England, on the other hand, if their team on the day fires pretty well, particularly their formation that they are playing, which is a very aggressive, like it's almost like a pack of five people in midfield. It's very interesting formation that they are playing, and if it comes to pass, if it works, they can like they were playing with Tunisia in the first 20 minutes.
Huh.
If they play in that vein, it can be a very exciting team to watch. But that said, you know, it's still a very open competition, an open field. And I have no regrets for the best teams going away because, as I kept saying, that you know the best was behind them.
Right.
Maybe this is an opportunity for new stars and new heroes. One thing I wanted to say, Rohit, was a more general discussion. You know, we agreed to do this podcast around a football match today. This was an experimental format. Because generally we pick a topic, talk about it, and this time we were trying to live cast it. What's been your learning? Because I want to hear from our people who've listened what their feedback is. What's your learning on this?
Well, you know, I obviously we, you know, we as we've said many times, we do this along with the many other things we do, and I, you know, we do have the software to capture feed and comment on the same time, but it's like complicated setting it up and a bit of a learning curve. This was it was interesting, you know, I enjoyed it, but then it's human tendency to enjoy the sound of your own voice. The question is, you know, did the readers enjoy it? And I think, you know, suddenly I realized that a lot of it actually hinges on the quality of the match. So I was thinking maybe we can, you know, as we discussed, we can do a pre-match and a post-match analysis for the most significant matches. And if there's a lot of action in the first half, then we can additionally throw in a third, you know, short sort of mid-match, you know, little 5-7 minute episode as well. That's my sense. I mean, we'll, you know, like with the podcast in general, I think we can just experiment and see how it goes. What do you think?
I think that's spot on because I was thinking that, you know, we started. This is the first time we've had a go at commentating on a live event. We've done one at the beginning of the match, one midpoint between at the first half, and then at halftime, and now we are doing a final wrap. So there are four small episodes that we did. It was interesting to do, but obviously, as you said, we need to figure out how the technology works better. But it was fun to do, and we'll take a view on. You know, whether we do more of this or less, maybe your point, we do one at the beginning and one at the end, for some of the important matches, like the semi-final and the final. But let's keep an open mind and do it. But for this one, let's kind of call it a wrap today.
Okay, that sounds great. And we welcome comments, suggestions, feedback from listeners as always. Okay, all right. Take care.
Okay, chalo, take care.